If you have your insert, you'll notice for Ash Wednesday, this week's colic, this evening's colic, begins with this line: Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing you have made. You hate nothing you have made. God as creator rejoices in his creation. Another way we can think about this is if we flip it from the negative to the positive. Say, Almighty and ever-living God, you love that which you have made. How does that settle with you? God is creator, loving you as part of his creation. I think for many of us, it's difficult to call to mind this foundational truth that God loves that which he has made, especially as we enter into a liturgical season of penance. Calls to mind the ways in which we have fallen short, ways we have been misguided, ways in which our disordered affections have loved things that have not been of God. So it's hard times to keep in mind that God loves that which he has made. So today, as we enter into Lent, it's Ash Wednesday, so the first kind of celebration, the first day of Lent, as we remember as a church Jesus's 40 days of going into the wilderness, of fasting, of being tempted, but also of him coming through that. So we, in modeling Christ's example, we see this as a time in our church calendar, a time for repentance, a time for fasting and prayer. As we look forward to, as our hearts are geared towards Easter's resurrection and the joy and celebration that's there. But perhaps in Lent, in this season of kind of humble contrition, it's hard to lose sight that God truly does love us. Maybe in this season you may ask, God, why do you ask so much of us? Why do you ask so much of us in this season? We strive to be holy. We strive to live according to your laws. Why now do you ask that we fast, we pray, we give money to the poor? Why ask us to step out of our places of comfort and security into places of humility, places of dependence? But I wonder if it's in his very love for us, in the very nature of his love for us, that God calls us to these Lenten disciplines. I think we could see this played out in our gospel reading today. As part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:1, Jesus begins with this: Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Outward acts of righteousness. These are the acts that Jesus warns his disciples about. In verse 2, giving alms. Verse 5, your prayer life. Verse 16, fasting. Alms, prayer, fasting, these are the disciplines that, if you notice at the beginning of the service, it's what the church invites us into participating in during Lent. But the unique thing about these, they could be either incredibly public and outward-facing, which Jesus calls to our attention in Matthew 6, or they could be inward. They could be subtle. They could be hidden. So we can ask again, maybe, why does a loving God ask so much of us that it's not even so much a matter of what we do, but it's also a matter of how we do it and the heart and intent behind it? I think implicit within our gospel reading this evening is the notion of relationship, because we're never participating in these disciplines just disconnected from others, or disconnected from ourselves, or even disconnected from God. But Jesus reminds us that it's not just about going through the motions and the disciplines. It's about aligning our hearts in a way with that the fruit of those disciplines help develop within us a rightly ordered love of God and a rightly ordered love of neighbor. Because we can see in Matthew 6 how we could get the actions right, but still miss the ways in which these disciplines can reorient our hearts in ways that heal us and help us. I appreciate how one theologian put it this way. He says, all sin is a corrupted expression of rightly ordered love. All sin is an expression of a corrupted, all sin is a corrupted expression of rightly ordered love. We could see how Jesus' caution in Matthew 6 is really a caution about disordered loves. If you would, think with me here concerning alms. Do you love the poor? Or do you love the recognition of being generous? Do you love your own sense of self-sufficiency, self-dependency? Concerning prayer, do you love the quiet, intimate conversations with God, that space with God, regardless of how he shows up, how he speaks to you? Or do you love the public image of being pious and holy, one who has God's ear? Concerning fasting, do you love the reliance that every good gift comes from the hand of God? Or do you love the fact that you could show your righteousness among others through the way in which you are just that much further along in your spiritual journey, being able to fast and abstain from food and drink for however long? It gets a bit pernicious when we get under the surface of our motivations behind these disciplines and our motivation in entering Lent. But Jesus is cautioning us from this malformed love of God and neighbor in what he shares in Matthew 6. Because he's cautioning us from these disciplines becoming ends in and of themselves, right? Or ends that do not lead to the end of a rightly ordered love of God. I appreciate Robert Weber, a theologian, as he put it this way. When we're concerned about the ends of these disciplines, where they're leading us to, he says this: the true reason we are called upon to fast, pray, and give alms is not so others will praise us, but to establish, maintain, repair, and transform our relationship with God. So why does God ask so much of us for Lenten seasons? I think because God loves us so much that knowing even in our best intentions, our heart has a way of curving itself back in on itself, and then we become our own worst enemies. That which we try to do by our own strength, we miss the mark. But he loves us enough to call us out of ourselves. He loves us enough to call us out of ourselves and back into a proper relationship with him. And I think we know this not just through Matthew 6, but we read it even in Psalm 103 this evening. Who does God demonstrate himself to be? Beautifully stated in 103, Lord's compassionate, merciful, long-suffering, of great goodness. Is that the God who is informing your Lenten disciplines? His mercy is great towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has set our sins from us. This is the God that calls us. He separated us from our sins. But he's saying, hey, turn your attention back towards me. This is God's relationship to us. For this season of Lent, I want to encourage you with this reminder. In the prayer book, in the preface to the service of the Ash Wednesday service, the prayer book says this: as we momentarily will be coming up to be marked with ashes, I want you to be mindful of this. It says this: as we are marked with ashes in the same way we were signed with the cross in baptism, we're also reminded of the life we share in Jesus Christ. It is in this sure hope that we begin the journey of these 40 days of Lent, that by hearing and answering our Savior's call to repent, we may fully enter into the joyful celebration of his resurrection. So why does a loving God ask us to enter into the wilderness of Lent, to enter into a season of humble petition? It's because out of his love for us, he knows that the only way into Christ's resurrected life is for us to continue to pick up our crosses and die to ourselves and allow his Spirit, and only by his Spirit, to reorder our loves one day at a time, or one discipline at a time. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.